All right, g'day Novocastrians, and welcome to this preview Jetstream podcast that we're doing. We're going to try and change up the format. We have mentioned in a couple of previous episodes that we are going to change the way we do it, to rather than doing one massive long episode once a week, we're going to try and do a couple of smaller ones a little bit more often, so that you're not having to download these massive files. So this is the preview of the FFA Cup fixture between the Jets and the Melbourne Victory, which will take place on Wednesday the 3rd of August at Magic Park. I am Ferns, and joining me this week I have Dave. G'day, Dave.
Hello, I am Ferns.
And a man who's looking very keenly at his clock and counting down the time until the end of dry July is Bodes. How you going, Bodes?
Hi, Uncle Ferns. I'm shaking in excitement.
You sure that's just not withdrawal symptoms?
Mate, it's probably majority withdrawal symptoms, but I'm not going to tell anyone that.
He's got his canoe out the front, ready for a paddle and straight down there.
Yeah. Straight down to Beaumont. Straight down Beaumont Street.
That's it. So we'll be scraping him off a pavement on Monday morning. All right, so opening question for this week. Dave, we'll kick it off with you. What is the least popular lolly in a packet of Allen's Party Mix, i.e. what's the lolly gets eaten last or not at all?
Mate, that's a tough question.
Because they're all good for the most part.
They are all good. Some are just less good. Some are just less good. For me, it's the little raspberries. Yep. Not the strawberry creams, but the little raspberry round ones that you can get.
Yep.
Just they don't do it for me.
Not a fan?
They're gone.
No, okay, fair enough. Bodes?
Right. It's really actually simple. The banana. Why do you don't need a fruit in a party mix.
Yeah, but so it's what, imitation
the banana
fruit.
The pineapple. Are you throwing the pineapple out?
No, mate, pineapple at least is a bit of a fresh fruit. Bananas all, nah. I'll happily do the banana. I'll do the pineapple, won't do the banana. All right.
And I can hear Emma looking at this going, now, bananas are a herb! Bananas are a herb!
Yeah, of course.
Shout out to Emma.
Yep, g'day, Emma. And, well, for me, it's obviously the black jelly babies, so I'm just not a fan of anything licorice. But anyway, all right, so jumping straight into stuff. Dave, some stats for this game.
Mate, it's looking pretty good for the Jets. The Victory are one of the only teams that the Jets have a good record against, or more wins than they do losses, with 14 Jets wins to Victory's 11 and 8 draws between the two teams. Goals in the fixtures are at 45 apiece, however, over that time. Cards are pretty even. So, on paper and over the course of the 11 seasons of the A-League, it's pretty even.
All right, Bodes. Unfortunately, with the scheduling, the FFA Cup fixture being right at the beginning of, well, what most people would regard as pre-season. So, unfortunately, it sees the Jets, for the most part, coming into this game with very little match practice, and made especially worse by the cancelling of the NPL Select Team, the game against the NPL Select Team last week, a week before last.
Yeah, you're right, mate, and that would have only had with us with two games leading up to the Cup game, and unfortunately now we've been stuck with one. So yeah, you're right. But I guess it's part and parcel of it. They know, well, the FFA Cup's now into its third year, so it's not as though the club isn't aware of the scheduling we've been given. And I believe they've been back training for 4 weeks now. It's more or less the match practice which we're going to be missing. You'd have to think that they're at least sport level fit, I guess would probably be the word to go with.
Dave, is there anything that you reckon the club could be doing to better prepare for these FFA Cup fixtures? I mean, obviously it's been 2 years, two losses. We didn't go too badly last season, last year against Glory, if I remember correctly. We lost an extra time. But we just, obviously, we just don't seem to come into these games with any sort of match practice to any, you know, concrete extent.
No, and I don't think what helps as well is that we had, especially last year, a couple of our imports missing, and we didn't have a completely full roster. That's something that we're going to experience again this year as well. With regards to what the club could be doing better, you're right, Bodes. They have been back for a month. They came back at the end of July. They've attempted to have at least two trials prior to the match. One was postponed. One's been behind closed doors against A-League opposition. It's a bit hard to say, because I could say, oh, look, it's crap. They need to be doing something better, and they're going to come out and run away with the game. But look, it's been disrupted, I'd say at the very least.
So obviously it's going to be very difficult, Dave, to get any sort of, obviously, because the Mariners are so close, that's why we've played a game against them. But could we be, should this be the time we be, obviously we've had discussions in the past about pre-season preparations, playing the NPL teams. So, you know, does that give us decent preparation or not? Should we maybe be looking at playing, you know, a couple of NPL teams in the lead up to these FFA Cup fixtures, and then sort of ramp up our pre-season preparations from there?
Well, it probably wouldn't hurt to at least be starting to get some match practice, getting some confidence with the formation and in a match scenario. But it's certainly our pre-season is vastly different to what Melbourne Victories have had with games against Juventus and Atletico Madrid. Brought the house down with that one.
Hilarious.
This is what happens when you have housemates.
Yeah, exactly. So, Bodes, we spoke to Scott Miller briefly on the most recent Jetstream podcast episode about the FFA. We did actually ask him specifically about FFA Cup preparations. And we also heard...
Still got wedding on your mind,
Ferns. Yeah. And we did also heard him speak. People asked him similar questions last week at the Jets fan forum that we both attended. So, based on what Scott Miller sort of answered in those two situations, how are you seeing our preparation, and how are we looking? Is he taking this game seriously, and what do you think our preparations from his perspective are?
Yeah, look, I would definitely say we're taking it seriously. It's an official match sort of thing, but at the same time, our squad is not A-League prepared. We haven't filled all our squad positions as of yet. We're still waiting on one or two foreigners to come in, and yeah, it's basically coming to a point where we've got to put the best players out in the park. What we're going to do is, so I'll say our preparation is serious, but look, I don't think if we were to lose on Wednesday night, I don't think it'll be the end of the world for Scott.
All right, Dave, what was your impressions of how Scott answered those questions that were put to him about the FFA Cup preparations?
He was guarded, as he naturally would be. I think he knows his team, and he gave us some level of indication with that, talking about Wayne Brown filling in the striker's position, yet that not being ideal with the likes of Morten Nordstrom, Labby Halidi, and striker TBA to still come in. I think that they're going to be realistic about where they're at with this, but I really want to see them take the game seriously. They took it seriously last year. They were unlucky not to get a result, but look, 3 years without progressing past our first match in the FFA Cup just simply isn't good enough. I want to take this game seriously. I want to see us progress, because I think it will help us by the time we're getting later in, well, by the time we come to kick off the season as well.
All right, so Dave, you were also able to speak a couple of days ago to Jason from the Melbourne Victory Supporters podcast for Vuk's Sake. That's with a V, not an F. Prior to their game day... prior to their game against Atletico Madrid that was played today. We're recording this on Sunday night. So what we're going to do now is we're going to play that interview and then we'll discuss it when we come back.
Okay, so in a special pre-FFA Cup interview, I'm joined here by Jason from the Melbourne Victory Supporters Podcast, For Vuk's Sake. Jason, how are you going?
Good, mate. A pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time out to have a chat with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Look, let's get started. We'll ask you, we've already been over what our favourite lolly is as part of the opening questions of the podcast, so we'll forward that to you as well. In a party mix, what's the worst lolly in the packet? What's the one that you're leaving till last?
The teeth, 100%. They're bereft of flavour and no good at all. So the teeth, 100% for me.
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us on that interview today. It's been really good. Go away.
is that an unpopular answer? What's the popular answer when you guys ask this question?
Look, for me, I'm going to say that it's the little raspberry ones. I can't stand them. Ooh. There's just nothing. So you can have so much fun with the teeth.
I don't know. They're in the retro lolly bags these days. I'm not too sure what's too retro about them, but I'm not a fan whatsoever. And I'm a bit of a sweet tooth too.
All right. right, okay, very good. Well, each into their own. So the Jets drew Melbourne Victory for the round of 32 for the FFA Cup. What were your initial reactions to the draw Victory coming up to Newcastle?
I'm sure you probably thought the same thing when you have the chance of drawing the state league teams and you draw an A-League team. I think a part of you is a little bit disappointed in the fact that you don't get to play the suburban teams. One, because it's got that magical atmosphere to it, especially when you go to an away game at a suburban league game. And also, number two, because you're playing an A-League side now, so the chances that you're going to go further in the comp are slightly diminished. So when you pair that with the fact that Newcastle is what we consider around the Victory fans traps to be the bogey side, I'm a little bit pensive and a little bit scared of what could happen come Wednesday night.
Yeah, look, it's interesting that you say your disappointment in not, I guess, drawing one of the National Premier League sides or whoever it is. We've drawn Perth Glory in the round of 32 at home for the first 2 years of the competition, and we lost in the first round to both of them. So we've never been out of the round of 32. So, yeah, tough opportunity, and it's the third year in a row we've drawn A-League opposition.
Yeah, do you guys know that we consider you to be our bogey side, though?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
That, and we've got a funny record with Brisbane Roar where we always beat Brisbane Roar up there or draw, and they always beat or draw with us down in Newcastle. It's a very reverse sort of fixture. So, yeah, Melbourne are just one of those teams that we've actually got a decent record against. So, leading into that, Victory have had a number of changes in the off-season. I mean, with some key players like Costa Barbarousis, Guy Finkler, Del Pierre, Thompson, and just recently Danny Vukovic as well. How have you seen Victory's recruitment drive so far, looking to replace some of these key players as well as the fringe players that were let go?
Well, there hasn't been too much movement at the station just yet. It's been quite interesting. Kevin Muscat was in the press about a week or so ago saying that it's really tough to get players to the A-League now when you've got countries such as China and Malaysia and a few other places that are all signing these players that we're in competition for. I kind of interpreted that as a bit of conceding defeat, that perhaps his recruiting drive's not going too well. The off-season, it has been a mass exodus. So, obviously, we won the championship not last season, the year before, and we retained the bulk of our squad and probably just added Danny Vukovic, which most people in the media were saying was one of the best A-League teams on paper. And then I think teams just figured this out last season and a lot of things went wrong. Cal Fuller, who was our best player by far in the championship year, was figured out by opposition teams, and a few other players just fell away, and somehow this led to being one of the best teams ever assembled, or certainly in Victory terms, to essentially having a mass exodus at the end of the season. We've shedded a lot of dead weight, such as Jesse Macaroonis and Connor Payne, who went to the Central Coast in exchange for Mitch Austin. But so far, we haven't brought much else in. So we've signed, I think, James Donaghy, who is from the Brisbane Roar, and also Alain Barrow, who is from the Segunda Division in Spain. So those are our two signings, as well as Mitch Austin, who I mentioned earlier. But so far, we haven't signed much else. We've got still another three foreign spots to fill. And we're getting closer to the season. There's about 8 weeks left. So we actually need to start pulling up our socks and finding someone.
Yeah, well, look, I think the Victory have also managed to sign a couple of youth players to full-team contracts as well. So, and you've also lost Tommy Deng, who's another player who started to feature towards the end of the year. So Your depth is certainly going to be tested, I think, this year.
I agree. Yeah, I agree completely. And you know, as I said, the fact is we're 8 weeks away from the season, or probably a little bit, probably 8-9 weeks now. But we don't know what our first 11's going to be. We played against Juve a few nights ago, and we'll talk about that soon, I'm assuming. But yeah, it's just interesting to see what's our first 11 going to look like. And in terms of that, at the moment, going into the FFA Cup, in previous years, we've had a settled team by the start of the FFA Cup, which is obviously part of the reason why we were so successful winning the competition last year. So I'm a little bit apprehensive as to what's going to happen.
Okay. Look, I'll say from a Jets point of view, we're pretty disappointed that Danny Vukovic has moved on. And that any opportunity to renew acquaintances with High Five Danny would certainly not go astray. So, but I'm sure
I'll just say on Danny Vukovic, he wasn't well liked around the Victory terraces. Yeah, he didn't have a great year. We play out of the back, and he's a bit of a shot stop. He's not really a person that extends himself to good distribution. He was the cause of a lot of goals during the season because of his distribution out of the back half. And I think in one game we have on our fans forum, we have a player of the year where fans vote, you know, 5-4-3-2-1 on the best player of the match. And somewhat sarcastically, the fans gave Danny Vukovic the maximum 5 votes in the game against Brisbane Roar, where he let in 5 goals. So, he had a bit of a torrid year.
So, you touched on the ICC, and at the time of recording, you've only played the one match against Juventus so far, and which Victory won on penalties. How did you see that match? How did you think that the team was looking?
Well, we've had a cool experience, me and the other two guys I do the podcast with. We somehow got media accreditation for the entire tournament. We try to, exaggerate how important we were on the podcast, and somehow they granted us accreditation. So we've been sitting in the press box for the ICC so far. We've been sitting around with all the legitimate journalists trying to, you know, take it all in. So we got to see the Victory Juve game from a prime spot in the press box. It was kind of an interesting game because I'm totally against these built-up preseason friendlies where the European team brings out their worst side and all their stars are staying at home. Obviously, because of the Euros, it was quite understandable this year. But I actually really enjoyed the game. I thought there were a lot of things we could take away, such as Mitch Austin's play. Also, there was a young player called Seb Pasquale who has, I think he's about 16 years old, has risen up through the youth ranks, and he put on a bit of a clinic against Juve. So there were a lot of things to take away from that match, and it was a kind of an enjoyable evening. The ICC on the whole, though, with the Eurostars missing, has lacked the punch that it had last year.
I certainly agree. It's just a bad year for it with the Euros, and that's the way that it is. How do you think Victory, given what you saw in the ICC Cup, how do you think the Victory are going to line up against the Jets?
Well, this is an interesting as well because Victory have agreed to a friendly against Atletico Madrid on Sunday. So they're going to back into a game on Sunday and then have to back it up on Wednesday against Newcastle. So I would say we're going to line up very similar to how we did against Juve, with the exception of maybe Alan Barrow starting, whereas he came on off the bench on Saturday night against Juve. So I would say it'd be Georgievski left back, and then a pairing of Ansel and Barrow Ansel and Donaghy in the center defense, and then Jason Guerrier right defense, and then it's going to be Alan Barrow and Carl Valeri, I would say. Defensive midfielders, followed by Bozanic as a playmaker role. He was out of position last year. Bozanic, he copped a bit of flack from Victory fans about his lack of contribution throughout the year, but I think he'll be much more suited to that playmaker role as the season goes on. And then you've got the front third of Mitch Austin, Besar Perisian, Cal Fella.
Yeah, okay. Very, very tough-sounding team, and hopefully that Mitch Austin is on the wing, so, again, the Jets fans can renew acquaintances with him and tell him how many points the Mariners took off the Jets last year. So, it sounds like a very strong starting lineup.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think if you were to fast-forward 2 months to the start of the season, I could imagine that being the starting 11 going into the start of the season. The only thing I would say to preface that is the fact that we've still got the 3 foreign spots to fill. So who knows where we're going to look for, what positioning we're going to look for those 3 foreign spots.
If the Jets are going to expose anywhere in the Victory, where do you see the team's weakness being?
Well, I would say at the moment that central defence pairing of Donaghy and Ansel, obviously they haven't played much football together, so it's going to be interesting to see how they work going on throughout the year. And Donaghy will be auditioning for that central defensive role, because as I said, Alan Barrow, who was brought in for the from the Segunda division in Spain, is a as a central defense can go in central defense, but also defensive midfielder. So Donaghy's got a lot to prove, but he's also vulnerable because of the fact that they haven't played too much football in a victory shirt.
Okay, where do you think the Victory are going to look to exploit the Jets?
I think you're going to hate this, but I think Mitch Austin down the wing, I think his pace against Juve was really surprising, or really pleasing to see. He tore them up, but the only thing is, I suppose, with that is that Juve really weren't scouting Mitch Austin, where I think Newcastle will be a little bit more wise to Mitch Austin's pace and probably will be able to, for your sake, we'll hopefully combat that. So for our sake, though, I'd say Mitch Austin down that left-hand side is hopefully going to tear up Newcastle.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Mitch Austin last year, when he did play for the Mariners against the Jets, Jason Hoffman actually played blinders against him and really had Mitch Austin in his pocket. Jason Hoffman's as our right back's a really athletic and strong, physically strong defender as well. And it'll be good to see those two renew their challenges.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, as I said, the Newcastle will be well and truly wise to Mitch Austin, but I think we're going to use him as a bit of a weapon throughout the season with that pace. It's absolutely electric pace.
Yeah, you certainly can't knock it. He's one of the quickest in the league.
It's all about having a bit more up your sleeve than just the pace, though. So that'll be the challenge for Mitch Austin this year.
True. So time to put the money where the mouth is. What's your prediction for the match?
Victory fans hate going up to the Newcastle, even though it's not in the Hunter Stadium, is it? It's somewhere
else.
No,
it's at Magic Park. Magic Park's just behind the stadium.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the local NPL teams, Broadmeadow Magic, who played the last 2 years as they got through the Northern New South Wales Premier League qualification process to get to the round of 32 as well. So I'm pretty sure Magic played last year. Anyway, regardless, it's at Magic Park.
Okay, well, if you had asked me a week ago when I hadn't seen our new players play and we had a few new signings, I would have said that we'd probably lose this one, but I'm encouraged by the fact that we've beaten the five-time reigning Italian champions only a week ago. So I'm going to say Victory 2-1 in this one.
Okay, very good. Jason, thank you very much for joining us on the Jetstream today. For Vuck's sake, a plug. If people want to follow you or get in touch, what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, so it's For Vuck's Sake, Vuck spelled V-U-C-K-S, For Vuck's Sake. Also on Facebook as well as Twitter. And yeah, you can find us on SoundCloud or iTunes if you just search for Vuck's Sake.
No worries. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problems. Thank you.
All right, so that was Jason from For Vuck's Sake, whichever way you want to pronounce it. So Dave, exactly. So Dave, they seem pretty confident for this fixture, but obviously they're conscious of their it's a bit of trepidation because obviously they're conscious of their poor away record in Newey.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise the Victory being the cup holders that they want to be confident going into this match, but they would have really, as Jason said, they really wanted to get an NPL team, and to now be drawn against A-League opposition in the very first round, something they haven't come across before, whereas, as I said, it's something that we've experienced each time, and they know that Newcastle is a tough place for their team to come, as we talked about in the stats earlier. But, guys, I guess they're really starting to see a team that's in a lot of transition, that they got rid of a lot of players in the off-season, and I'm interested to see what you guys think about how they're going to go and how well they've replaced the likes of Barbarousis, Finkler, Thompson, Vukovic, Del Pierre, Tommy Deng, how they've gone replacing them with the likes of Mitch Austin, James Donaghy and the Spaniard Barrow. Ferns?
It's going to be. Well, I think that sort of it's in obviously in our favour. Obviously, we'll talk about the games that they've played. They've obviously had better match preparation than us in the last couple of weeks. But I think the fact that they are missing so many good players, they've such a high turnover. Whereas, same issues we had last season, We obviously had a fairly high turnover, and we only had, what, I think 14 fit players for last year, the last FFA Cup game, and we didn't go too badly. So I'm thinking that that's going to the game's going to be pretty even. I think we've got a more settled squad, and we've added some decent players. But like you said, they've shifted a lot of players on. So I think that's only going to help us out.
It's interesting. I think their depth's going to be tested, as I mentioned in the interview. Bodes, is that something that you see as a thing for Victory?
Look, at the end of the day, I think if you compare the two starting 11s, their best starting 11s, Victory, I think, obviously have a better starting team. But I think, and Scott's making a big thing of it this year, we're going to have 16 or 17 players who can contend for that starting 11, whereas Melbourne at the moment, they might only have 12 or 13.
All right. Keep going.
No, I was just going to say it's that's where I see their weakness is their depth. I completely agree with what you said, Bodes. We have more players that can fill in a starting position, and while they may not be at the level of some of those Victory players, I mean, we see some people like Mitch Austin pulling up lame, which we'll talk about later. It's just going to continue to test their depth and any impact they can have off the bench, which is something we struggled with last year.
So, Bodes, obviously we mentioned it earlier that Victory had the advantage of preparation for this game by competing in two International Champions Cup fixtures this week, or in the previous week, with two wins. One against Juventus, they ended up with a draw, and then one on penalties. And Atletico Madrid, they played Sunday afternoon, and they won that game 1-0. So obviously these teams are nowhere near full strength. Most of them are missing out on their top stars. Torres travelled but didn't play. And obviously Juventus left a whole host of... players at home, which obviously accounted for the fact they only managed to draw about 25,000 to the MCG. So, what are your thoughts on that as a hit out in preparation for this game? So obviously the teams were missing a lot of their players, but Victory is still going to benefit by competing against two European powerhouse teams.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, the big thing, and also too, I'd just like to take a shout out to our main man Pim Verbeek. I remember him still saying that with the A-League was no better than a third division training run in Germany. So, yeah, he's stuffed up there. So, look, it's a much better preparation as compared to us having a behind the doors closed game in front of 10 people and a couple of journos. So, yeah, obviously they've had the better prep. Oh, I didn't actually get to watch this afternoon's game, and the game on last Friday I actually did get to see, and Mitch Austin impressed me massively. I don't know what you guys thought, so.
See you, Captain. See you, Chef.
I'll trust your words, mate. I didn't watch the game.
Yeah, no, Mitch Austin was very impressive in the first game, and another one who impressed me was Bezenic. I think he's probably going to come more into his own this year, and a big in for Victory in his too is Carl Valeri is back this year from that horror injury.
So Dave Bodes has obviously highlighted a couple of players there. Do you reckon there's any other players that we've got to watch out for?
Mate, I am wanting to see how Ben Kalfala goes. I mean, he had a really poor season by his standards from the season before. I think that's because a lot of teams started to work him out, and just his combinations with Berisha. Those guys, Jai Ingham as well, who may come in for the injured Mitch Austin if he doesn't recover in time for Wednesday's match. That's a pretty lethal looking front three with certainly test our back line, which the back four is solid, but again we'll have a new keeper between the sticks this year.
Well, Bodes, that actually segues pretty good into talking about our team. So good that we've actually finally got some decent speed in our attack. It looks like we're going to have a front three of Houle, Naboo and Wayne Brown. And obviously having Houle back, Naboo was a bit of an up and down sort of player from what I remember watching when he played for Victory before he went off to Malaysia. But I think that there's definitely a lot more speed and guile in that front three than we've had in previous seasons.
Yeah, 100%. I think we also picked up on it last season that that while we had I would say an experienced front four last year, we also had a very leggy front four where we couldn't expect them to run up and down, having the need to have we had Leakey G and Hoffman too fast, guys who could basically cover the space for them. Look, I'm very excited about having Hull back. I think he's got unfinished business in Newcastle. And Naboo, you couldn't ask for a better game for him to start playing against his old club. He's got unfinished business himself. So, look, I'm quite excited by our wide players this year. And Scott, obviously, Miller's obviously said they're also looking for another wide player. So, yeah, hopefully we can improve on Olivetic and go where the money goes, Carney.
And obviously, we also saw that that Wayne Brown obviously put in a nice. Would you call it a thunder bastard, or was it more qualified as a screamer against the Gippos the other day?
I went with worldie.
Worldie?
Screamer's more accurate. Screamer's more accurate. Yeah. I take thunder bastard more as a set piece type description for a long range goal.
Yeah. Well, I reckon a set piece or on the volley, especially if it's
I'll give you a volley as well. He was running with it. He was running at a retreating Gippo's defence and managed to put it past him.
Mm. Dave, while we're talking with you, we have a number of players unavailable for this game, obviously. So Labby's not returned to the starting lineup yet. Morton, obviously, it was brought up in the Scott Miller interview we did in the last podcast that he's suffering from a slight overworking of him when he turned up last season after a month off in Dubai. So that pretty much leaves us without a recognised striker. Alessi, obviously, we know he's out for the season now, and there's also doubts whether Vujica will recover in time to be available for this game. So we have a decent team. It's fairly stable, but we do have a number of key players missing.
We do, mate. And it opens the opportunity for a few of these new players and a few that are returning to really start to cement a place within the team. I think Morton is Labby, that the depth at striker is really going to test us. I guess it says a bit about Scott Miller's faith in the likes of Andy Brennan and Radovan Pavicevic that he's looking to start Wayne Brown as almost a striker or maybe even a false nine.
The old Spain race.
Yeah, and unfortunately Cam Joyce is also injured at the moment.
I'd love to have seen him actually play in this game.
Yeah, I would have too, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see the likes of, say, Christian Bymora make the step up and get some time off the bench in the second half because he's been knocking them in.
I thought you were going to say Christian Sarkis there for a minute. I just said, Jesus, where do we dig him up from?
I don't know.
He is the
freaky dig. Wasn't Christian Sarkis the free kick specialist, the dead ball specialist?
Yeah, wasn't he the future of Australia?
Yeah.
Didn't we have this conversation on the way out of the fan forum the other day?
We did.
We did. Yeah, we're talking about Christian Sarkis and Kasper Tafter, I think. Or was it... I can't remember. Anyway.
Sean Ontong,
yep.
Oh, God.
The little mongrel. All right, so, Dave, you highlighted a couple of players there. Who are you looking forward to actually seeing in this game? What are some players you're looking
Clute.
To? Yep.
Devante Clute is the player that I'm really looking forward to seeing for the Newcastle Jets. He played well in the couple of matches that he did play for the Brisbane Roar that I saw, so that's really narrowing down. But this guy's wanting to cement a spot in the team. He's come here to play first team football. I reckon he's going to play a blinder. He certainly will provide us with more energy than Leonardo did last year. However, will he provide the same level of delivery? Remains to be seen.
So we're going to be. He'll be deployed at a number 10?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll sit as a number 10 behind. Sorry, in front of Jugarkovic and Poljak.
Bodes, what about you? Who are you looking forward to see?
Mate, Dave's just said it. I'm actually so excited to see Poljak and Jugarkovic go around again.
Yep.
I just think another pre-season them working together. I think they are up there for the the majority of the A-League's now running on two sixes. I reckon they'd be in the top two, three, top number six pairing in the league. I'm excited to see them play.
Yep. Well, like we mentioned before, I'm actually looking forward to seeing how a speedy front three of Hoole, Naboo and Wayne Brown. So that's certainly going to be interesting. So, all right, boys, we need to put our money down. Dave, what's the score going to be? Do you see it going to extra time, and will we progress?
I'm going to say yes, we will progress. I don't think it will go to... I think it will go to extra time. I think we will win 2-1, and we will score first. So extra time will see victory's legs and depth be challenged, and we'll get over them 2-1 with an Andrew Naboo goal.
Okay, Bodes.
I'm thinking two ways. I'm thinking either victory will win it in normal time, maybe 2-1. But if it goes to extra time, I think nil all, we'll win 2-0 in extra time because we'll have the legs with them having just played today. So I'm going to say extra time, 2-0 Jets with Wayne Brown getting one, and I'm going to say a roughie, Hoffman from the corner.
So you reckon it's going to be 0-0?
He was so close last year to getting a few, Hoffy.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I reckon he'll get one.
So you reckon it's going to be 0-0 in full time and it's going to be 2-0 in extra time?
Yeah, if it goes to extra time, the legs will take over.
Okay. The other question, Dave, is there going to be any red cards?
Mate, don't know who the ref is yet.
We know it's not our mate Benny Williams.
Oh, bloody hell! Bye bye, Ben Williams. Yep, and that's all we're gonna say about him.
yeah, we bitched about him on Twitter for 30 seconds, so we gave that enough.
No, I don't think there's going to be.
How are the red card stats in these fixtures?
The red stats in these fixtures are 5 to us and 3 to Melbourne Victory. I was just having a look at some of these more key facts. Mm. We scored the first goal in our last 4 matches. These are probably things that I should have gone through in the stats. Sorry, Thurn.
That's all right.
but
the director of stats is having an off night.
That's all right. Hashtag pad it out. Come on.
It's my off season. I've done all the work. I'm now having a break, but yep. I've come back.
Shouldn't you be in pre-season, mate? Buddy, running the brain.
Yeah.
Jets have won only one penalty shootout of the 4 they've competed in, but neither side has scored more than one goal in the last 5 meetings between the teams. So Bodes and I have been a bit ambitious with the 2-1 win.
Dave, who was the goalkeeper when we won the penalty shootout? I know the answer, mate. If you want it, I'm just giving you a bit of.
Wasn't it?
No, it was Ben Kennedy.
Was it? Oh, okay. It was Sue. No, I think I've got that here. No, I don't.
There you go, mate. Official verification from the stats man.
Our returning number one.
Yep.
Yes, it was against the Gold Coast, wasn't it?
It was. Zen and Caravella actually missed the last penalty.
You were up there, I'd take it.
No, I wasn't actually.
No?
One of the few I missed.
because it was. You're right, mate. Now that I think about it, it was Ben Kennedy.
It was Ben Kennedy. All right. Personally, I think, we are going to have to put up with nail-biting extra time. I think it's going to be 1-1. By the time it gets to full time, then I think the Jets will have enough to get over the victory to continue the hoodoo away from home for them to make it a 2-1 win. And I'd be loving it if we could get the Jets through this round to join Edgy in the next round. So we'll look forward to seeing that take place. Remember it's Wednesday, the 3rd of August. That's this Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. kickoff at Magic Park. Get your tickets online through Ticketmaster. Pretty sure they're only $10 or something along those lines. They're not really very expensive, so it's a good good fixture to come and join to get rid of those off-season blues where you haven't got much football going on and you want to see some football rather than sitting at home watching it on TV. We just have to also mention that we've announced our tour of duty, coincidentally, against the Melbourne Victory, our away game against the Melbourne Victory in November. That's Saturday, the 26th of November, I believe, the Round 8 fixture. We're trying to get as many Jet supporters to join join us in Melbourne as possible. So if you're able to make the trip, we are concentrating on getting as many people to join us at this game as possible. So jump on to Jetstar. I think currently have sales on until Tuesday night. So I would get on pretty quick. It seems to have been fairly popular. We've made the announcement and a lot of people have showed a lot of interest. So we're hoping it's going to be a pretty big turnout. So jump on that, get on board. We will also announce tomorrow morning, obviously when this podcast goes up, that the pre-match venue will be at the Premier Hotel at Broadmeadow. Come and join us for a few beers before we walk down the street to the game. It'll only be a 5-minute walk down the road. So that's pretty much wraps up this preview. I hope everybody enjoyed it. We will be back pretty soon after the game. We hope to have the match review up 48 hours after, so we're hoping that that will be up Friday morning. We're trying to get these podcasts a little bit closer to the games, so we'll get it out a couple of days before and get the review a couple of days after, so that it's people aren't waiting 3/4 of a week for a podcast to come out about a game that they've already seen and heard all the reviews and details and stats and everything. And we want to try and make it a little bit easier for people to get content. So let us know what you think of the new format. You can get in contact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/JetstreamNewey, on Twitter at JetstreamNewey, podcast at newcastlefootball.net, or you can just message us on the newcastlefootball.net forums. So thanks very much for joining us, boys. Dave, Bodes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, fans. Good to be back for another season.
Yeah, well, we're back for one podcast, and then we're off for another 2 months. But we'll definitely try and get some more content between now and the season kickoff. Keep your eye on newcastlefootball.net for more articles. And if you want to join us, we are looking for more contributors throughout the season. So please, send us a message via those social media channels that I mentioned earlier. So thanks very much. Good luck to the Jets on Wednesday. We look forward to seeing everyone at Magic Park. Thanks very much, and bye for now.
Ciao.
I'll get you, Beer Baron.
Aurora Borealis.
At this time of year.